All right, episode 12, we're back. And Kyler's back, because Rob's still on vacay. So, yes.
Still hitting the slopes.
Yeah, still hitting the slopes, having a good time, right? Well-deserved time. So since it's the two of us again, both on the design side, art director, designer front, thought it might be interesting to keep that sort of design motif rolling and talk about typography, right? Mm-hmm. Mission critical importance in the world of design. Yeah. Dare I say typography, right? Yeah. I would almost say that typography is kind of like the uniform of a company. And here's what I mean by that, right? Just to have a little bit of levity with it, right? You know, we all, different jobs have different types of uniforms and functions, right? We always joke like you'd never take legal advice from a guy in a jean jacket, right? Isn't that a, isn't that a Larry David kind of thing, right?
I guess I probably wouldn't myself.
Yeah, I mean, lawyers, we kind of need them to look like lawyers, right? You know, another funny example of that would be a pharmacist, right? You only take your prescription drugs. Only take their prescription drugs from the guys with the white, even though we know they're wearing like a t-shirt and jeans under there.
Yeah. Well, but, I even prefer a button up underneath it. If it's just a t-shirt.
I'm telling you though, you roll into CVS, that there might be sweatpants under
that
there.
That is true.
You know,
that is true.
Saturday morning sweatpant pharmacist right now. If they weren't wearing that white coat, you know, do we still take prescription drugs? You know what I mean? It's the uniform they wear.
Right.
So I think, you know, typography in general, that's what I mean by like, it could be kind of thought of as the uniform of different companies, right? Type evokes emotion. We've got expressive type, you know, like, like for example, I'm wearing a t-shirt with my favorite sports team on it, right? So
the Niners.
Yeah, go Niners. Sports and athletic teams have kind of a uniform of their type, right? Think about type in the end zone or basketball or baseball or whatever the case may be, right? And there's an aggressive quality to it. There's a fast quality to it.
Yeah, it's got to feel sporty and stuff.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But some are a little more, the ones that lean into their tradition more.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I think if we were to,
Browns or Green Bay.
Yeah, if we were to dissect by league, you'd have a difference in types of typography, right?
Baseball, you get a lot of script.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. So baseball, we got script. The NFL, you're going to have the big blocky kind of chunky letters, but with some serifs, with some cuts in there, some, you know, that type of thing, right? But versus, if you want to talk about history, soccer, right? We talk about like, you know, 200-year-old soccer teams.
Right.
I mean, those sports logos are kind of more the crest, you know what I mean? That
those
the
are,
heritage,
are,
that type of thing, right?
Much of, more of an old style.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but I think, you know, typography as the uniform of a company, which is kind of interesting, you know, you wouldn't want your let's keep the theme rolling. You wouldn't want your lawyer's logo to look like the Atlanta Falcons, right?
No.
You know, you kind of want it to look like they're a professional lawyer, right?
Sure.
So, so yeah, I think, you know, interesting to think about typography from an expressive perspective or, you know, maybe even good companies that utilize great type, you don't even notice it. It's just seamless to the organization, right?
Yeah. I would say that that's with most good design, when it's done well, you're not noticing it, you know, unless you're a designer and then you're noticing.
Yeah.
All type everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. And we want to make sure that, you know, different type and different utilizations are treated correctly, right? So like, think about like, if I've got a brochure and I've got to read a bunch of copy, right? I want to make sure that the body copy is set a certain way, certain size, certain letting, kerning, you know, it's interesting to think that words make shapes, right?
Right.
And you know, all caps, for example,
it's harder to read.
It is much harder to read. You stole my thunder, right? Because the word, and if we think about like, for those of us listening out here, like you think about the word the and the word and, you can almost see the shape of the word,
right?
Because we've read those, you know, in, you know, century school book, right? For literally our whole life, right? So we don't actually read each individual letter anymore. You don't read A and D.
No, we look at the whole word.
Yeah. And then we, so it's, you know, proper type gives you a shortcut in reading, right? So like, hey, your subheads in a brochure, all caps, you know.
Sure.
You know, you can get away with that, right?
If
but
it's
you
a
wouldn't
short sentence or a headline.
Yeah.
You know, that if you're reading all caps, I mean, it looks like Donald Trump's tweets or something, you know.
It's, all caps.
Yeah. It, basically, without the ascenders or descenders, you end up with a blockier, more just standard rectangular shape to every word.
Sure, sure.
Which makes it harder to read.
It does make it harder to read.
And to my knowledge, I feel like a serif actually gives you even more readability.
It does.
You know, so that's why a lot of books are in just some kind of old style serif, like Garamond or something.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And obviously the two main, the bridge in typography, right? The big split, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of on-ramp and off-ramp would be, you know, some type being what's traditionally serif, which is what we think about, right? The letter forms that have the little ears, the little tick little marks, feet. All the extra stuff, right? And then sans serif, more of the modern, cleaner, simpler.
Right.
You know,
though there was a point in time that they thought it looked grotesque. Which is why so many sans serifs have grotesque in the name of the typeface.
Who are those people?
It was like the Germans, and it was like, you know, like the Swiss and the Germans before it became more common.
Yeah. Well, what was the original name of Helvetica? It had some horrible name, which I can't remember. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes or something.
Neuhaus Grotesque.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Neuhaus Grotesque. Okay.
Yeah. I believe I have a version of that. It's slightly different now.
I've watched Helvetica the movie, and I can't remember that. So, which is a great movie. If you're a type nerd out there, definitely watch Helvetica the movie. Because basically half of the movie is, this is the greatest typeface ever created, and it's ubiquitous, and it's everywhere, and it should be used for everything. And the other half is like, you know, the new type designers that are like, Helvetica is an abomination. Never use this thing. It stands for corporate America. You know what I mean? Greed.
Yeah, because it's so ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It breeds contempt.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. So, I think, you know, any examples that come to mind off the top of your head, we're talking about sort of good type, I guess, but bad type, you know, like
bad type,
any thoughts?
That's easy.
Yeah.
We all know what they are. It's Comic Sans.
Okay.
Papyrus. And you mentioned law firms. The one I hate, and you see it all the time in law firms, is copper plate.
Yeah, copper plate's overused to death. Well, papyrus kind of is culturally relevant right now because Avatar is the number one, you know, movie in the world again.
Right.
Avatar 2, the guy rolls out of bed every 10 years and makes billion-dollar movies. Right. And I remember that got a tremendous amount of flack to the point where there was an SNL skit.
Yeah, with Ryan Gosling. It's a good one, too.
About papyrus utilized for the logotype and also, I believe, the subtitles of the Na'vi, right, in the movie.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was on screen, you know. And I think they got a lot of flack because papyrus is kind of one of those default fonts that comes with your, you know, your
Microsoft
out-of-the-box computer.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So, yeah, papyrus is bad. You mentioned Comic Sans. The first thing that comes to mind, and then I'll ask you this question if you've got something that comes to mind. When I think of Comic Sans, I think of the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I believe his name's Dan Gilbert. I could be wrong.
An official document.
When LeBron left to go to South Beach, right? And did the whole, the decision on ESPN.
Right.
It was, my hometown Cavaliers.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm going to play for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. He typeset a scathing letter, you know, in the Cleveland newspaper at the time. Right.
Right.
That was all like, Cleveland's going to be great and we are going to win a championship way before LeBron does. And da 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 da. But the entire thing was typeset in Comic Sans.
Yeah. What a joke.
Which to me is a great example of, you know, type being kind of a uniform, right? It's, hey, I'm trying to make this serious message. Yeah, I'm trying to support the fans and do whatever. Yet it's all typeset in like a comical, whimsical looking.
Soft, rounded.
Yeah. It makes no sense, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I see it also like, there was a restaurant that opened up near my house and it's like, it's a remarkably good place to get, you can get like, you know, home style, like Cajun food.
Okay.
It's called Fork in the Road.
Okay.
But they use like on their sign of the building.
If it's
not Comic Sans, it's something very similar it has like these bubbly
feet be brush script.
And tops. It's not brush script, but that would be better. But, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it it doesn't convey the quality of food that you get at that place.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it would be like...
It doesn't match.
And luxury brands are a good example to look at where it's...
Yeah.
Everything is ultra clean, whether they're using a sans serif or whether they're like, you know, Calvin Klein uses avant-garde, thin or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or if it's a serif, like if you think of Tiffany's or I think Gucci has something. It's not Optima, but it's one of those fonts.
Well, a lot
that
of them
like
take their
slight flair kind of.
Yeah, they take the base, you know, Futura or whatever, and then they kind of customize it and tinker with it a little bit, you know, to create their own version of, you know, this is the Calvin Klein typeface.
Right. Tiffany's has its own typeface.
Yeah, exactly.
From the same guy who did Gotham. Which is our typeface.
Okay, nice.
And now it's become the typeface of politics.
Yeah, Gotham is all over the place.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't want to say it's becoming the new Helvetica,
but
it's kind of everywhere.
It's a great typeface.
Yeah, it is a great typeface. So yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point though. Luxury, like imagine for those out there listening, imagine the Four Seasons Hotel
right.
typeset in Comic Sans.
And chalk duster.
Yeah, that's a deep cut right there.
Yeah.
You know, is the Four Seasons still the Four Seasons if it's in chalk duster? You know what I mean? Does it still emote that same vibe? I mean, the answer is no, right?
No.
I mean, from a design perspective, it's not. You know, it doesn't live up to the billing, right?
Right.
So, you know, type is something I think that when it's done well, most consumers don't even notice it. It just kind of is part of the brand. It doesn't matter if it's all caps. It doesn't matter if it's serif or sans serif. It just fits with the rest of the unification of the brand, right?
Right.
It's only when it's done extremely poorly that it really sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, before you read anything, there is something given off by the typeface that whatever you're reading is set in. And this, and particularly when it's a brand or a single name kind of thing, it puts a little bit more emphasis on it. You know, a good example would be MoMA would never be in the same kind of serif font that the Met is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because the Met has, you know, older,
more classical
style art versus
Jinx.
The modern style art. So,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing is important when thinking about whether you're doing brand design or whether you're doing, like, as we mentioned yesterday, the menu for a Mexican restaurant.
Correct.
Now, sometimes there are brands that go too minimal and then they lose their, and I would say Taco Bell is one of them.
Where they kind of lost their vibe?
Yeah. They went to that ultra, because there's a trend of making things ultra minimal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they went to that just, you know, super simple sans serif.
Mm.
And
I agree
with miss that. The old, you know, and I don't think that that's representative of their food.
Well, if you want to keep, I don't know what is representative of their food, but I mean, if you want to keep that QSR thought going, you know, it's important to know Burger King went backwards, right?
They
went back to the retro thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, God love McDonald's. They've never really changed. You know what I mean? I mean, they've tinkered with the arches a little bit here and there.
A little bit. But
for the most part, I mean, that's a global brand that has just held true, right?
Red and yellow. And
That's the thing. But Burger King's kind of been all over the place. You know, Wendy's a little bit of modernization. But yeah, Taco Bell, you're correct. I would almost say that in the interest of being current and modern, they kind of stripped away all the vibe.
All the personality.
Yeah, great word, personality, and made it like neutral almost.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it,
bland,
it, yeah.
right?
And there are some things that don't need to take that route. Some things are best when the type is kind of more like tofu, where it's just kind of taking on the flavor of what it's around.
Sure, sure.
You know, which is one reason why Helvetica is such a popular font.
Correct.
But for a brand like Taco Bell, I don't know. I was not a fan of that rebrand, and I usually do like simplified, minimalist kind of stuff. But you know, it doesn't fit for everything.
Yeah. So speaking of your thoughts on the matter, do you have a favorite typeface, or does it constantly evolve? You know,
I would say it evolves. I mean, I don't want to speak too much about Helvetica. I do love Helvetica.
Okay.
I know
you can
that,
speak. Hey, man, it's our podcast.
I
we
know
can speak
that
for as long as we want on it.
Designers hate Helvetica just because of how ubiquitous it is.
Sure, sure.
But I love that all the terminals come to straight lines.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, I love Swiss design. It just suits it. You know, that
it's
kind
a perfectly designed typeface.
Yeah, it is.
Know?
It is.
And it's been around forever, and that says something about its quality as well.
Right.
I mean, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
So,
and it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't go a single day in your life without seeing Helvetica.
That is a statement that I bet most people listening to this never even thought about, but is 100% true.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not anti Helvetica, and that if that's the favorite, I mean, it's a good one. So
I like Gotham a lot too.
Yeah,
I never used Gotham prior to starting working here because it's a very expensive.
Yeah. We sneak it in from time to time.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a very good one.
You know, I think my new favorite one is definitely Knockout. I love the Knockout family.
Yeah.
I love the vibe. With the boxing theme, obviously the cruiserweight, welterweight, all the way up to sumo, which is fantastic. You know,
bantamweight, I believe they have.
There's flyweight, featherweight. There's all, you know, these are all the different descriptions of the thicknesses of the typeface, the boldness. You know, and also too, I think I'm not a big italic fan. I can't stand italics. I mean, you got to use them a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
But it just bothers me. I don't think that any typeface looks great in a sans serif italic. And now I am so far down the nerd
hole
of typography.
I'll tell you one that does look good in the sans serif italic.
Hit me.
sans serif, or is Futura condensed extra bold italic. Nike?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that.
That one I like. But, I mean,
we got four letters, though. You know what I mean? True. It's not like we've typeset a subhead in.
No, you can't do a headline in all italics.
So, but knockout, I mean, it's all just, there is no italic, you know?
Right.
So, which I love. So, yeah. All right. Anything, any other, flip the script. We've been chatting a lot about things we don't like. Anything that hits your mind of what you love or anything you've noticed from a good type perspective? Nothing's coming to my mind right now. That's why I'm asking you.
What I've noticed recently is this kind of bubbly old style serif coming back into popularity.
Like a Cooper kind of thing?
Kind of like Cooper. But if you look at, trying to think of some brand examples, there's that brand Good Jones or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, it's typeface is similar to Bookman that have these like swashes on
with
them.
The extended terminals that kind of then bubble out.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of those I've noticed have come back into some kind of popularity with brands that used to be ultra minimal, like Urban Outfitters kind of brand. Now you're starting to see some of these brands, not them in particular, but use this kind of old style serif.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting because, I would say in the last 15 years, so many brands switched from, if their brand wasn't a serif, they switched to a sans serif.
Okay, they flip-flopped.
So I kind of think it's refreshing to bring back some of these serif fonts. You just don't see them as much anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, it's you know, what I don't know what the cycle is. Is it a 30-year cycle? It's like the 90s are cool again now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the 90s are back. Right. High-waisted jeans from Friends is back. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, like we do have kind of this cycle of what's fashionable and what's kind of part of popular culture, right?
And type does the same thing.
So, as I mentioned on an earlier podcast, I'm all about the metal. So heavy metal logos and bands always look aggressive and insane
the ones
and
that
scratchy
you can't even
and
read at all.
Yeah,
right?
That's too far. That's too far. That's you know,
like Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah,
that kind of.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. That's I can't even listen to that. That's just double bass drum the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But as you're wearing a Black Sabbath shirt, which looks super cool. So all right. Well, I think I think that's it for type. You know, just some ramblings and thoughts on typography. I think, you know, it's interesting, both of our opinions on sort of how type affects design. It is mission critical.
It is.
But, you know, can you use it to stand out? Absolutely. Is it the right thing to use to stand out? Maybe not. I don't know. You know,
not in every situation, right?
But, different for different brands.
Right.
But, all right. Well, I think that's it for today. You know, feel free to drop us a review. You can find us on the socials at Mock the Agency. And we will talk to you guys next time. Thanks.
Mock the Podcast.